Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Sinn Féin and the government have clashed in fiery exchanges in the Dáil over the redevelopment of the GPO in Dublin. We'll be hearing from Donegal TD Pearse Doherty and the Taoiseach Simon Harris. Police in Derry are dealing with a security alert on Trench Road in the Waterside at the moment. Meanwhile, a police vehicle was damaged in Derry last night after it was attacked as officers left one call for another in the city side. The Health Minister confirms she still has hasn't received the business case for the Northwest Surgical Hub, and Letterkenny University Hospital reports a very busy day at the emergency department. People asked to avoid, if at all possible. Later in the bulletin, Mark's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. And as it's a Thursday, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. All that to follow. But first, Sinn Féin and the government have clashed in fiery exchanges over the redevelopment of the GPO. The Cabinet this week signed off on the implementation of a plan for improving Dublin, which includes redeveloping the GPO with cultural, office and shopping space. Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty accused the government of having something against the heroes of 1916.
The place where the Irish Republic was declared, it's where it was bravely defended during the Easter Rising, and it's disgraceful stuff coming from your government. And if that isn't enough, you refuse to name the new National Children's Hospital after Dr. Kathleen Lynn, a pioneer medic, a heroine of 1916. What has been the Gael and Fianna Fáil got against the heroic men and women of 1916?
But responding to Deputy Doherty, Simon Harris said he would take no lectures from him on celebrating the heroes of the Republic.
The Republic, a Republic that your party works to undermine, collecting the killers of Jerry McCabe from the gates of a prison. Don't you dare present yourself as a defender of the Republic. There's Gardaí dead in this country as a result of the actions of your party's army wing. You know nothing about defending the Republic. Nothing about defending the Republic. And here you all are with your Hamas buddies.
And you can hear that full exchange between the Taoiseach and Deputy Doherty on our website, highlandradio.com. Police in Derry have been dealing with a security alert on Trench Road in the Waterside this afternoon. A public safety operation is continuing following the discovery of a suspicious device. It was reported to police at approximately 11:20 this morning. There is a cordon in place at Knockwellen Park. A number of homes in the area have been impacted. Police say Sacred Heart Primary School was evacuated earlier today as part of that operation. A number of local homes also evacuated. Meanwhile, a police vehicle was damaged in Derry last night as officers were leaving one call to attend another in the city side. The PSNI say masonry was thrown at the vehicle by a group of individuals. It smashed through the back window. No officers were physically injured, but police say as a result of the damage, the vehicle's off the road for repairs, and that's impacting on the local community. The Health Minister has confirmed she still hasn't received the business case for the Northwest Surgical Hub. Minister Jennifer Carl McNeill recently met with Donegal Oireachtas members and a delegation of doctors to discuss their concerns over the HSE's belief that the surgical hub should be located in Sligo. Well, in the Dáil today, Deputy Charles Ward addressed the Minister.
We know that the location of the surgical hub has generated a lot of public interest. There's a potential to impact many people's lives across the Northwest. It's very important that we get it right. This is not a Sligo versus Donegal issue. The North West region alone is disadvantaged in many ways. We shouldn't be forced to fight over squeezed resources. Ideally, to address the imbalance in healthcare and to meet the current demand, two surgical hubs should be established. All I can say is, as someone who's worked on the ground in Donegal, the case for a surgical hub in Letterkenny is overwhelming. Donegal consultants and GPs that I've met with you last week have outlined this. I'm asking you to take their experiences and all the data presented into account, Minister. The public needs reassurance that the decision will be data-driven and free from influence.
Responding, Minister Carl McNeill assured Deputy Ward that would be the case.
I can assure you, representatives from Donegal, the consultants and doctors in Letterkenny and the people of Donegal more broadly, that I will do precisely that and that I'm very committed to that region. And that is why I went there a number of weeks into being Minister for Health, to understand for myself. I cannot look at it on a map. I cannot look at drawings. I have to be there to understand the dynamics and to listen to people, which is precisely why I went and precisely why I've tried to engage in this way. No decision has been made, so if you just let me give me a little bit more time to work out how to manage it.
Well, today people were being urged to only attend the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital in cases of real emergency. High numbers continue to attend. Yesterday, 140 people attended the ED with similar high attendances recorded today. Earlier today, there were 54 patients waiting to be seen in the ED at one point, with 16 waiting to be admitted. At the time, all available beds at the hospital were in use. Some elective procedures have been cancelled today as a result. People are being asked, if at all possible, to go to their GP or GP out of hours service in the first instance. The government has voted down an amendment brought before the Dáil by Donegal deputies Piers Doherty and Padraig McLaughlin that would have exempted thousands of defective block homeowners from having to pay local property tax. The amendment called on the Finance Minister to, within 3 months of the passing of the Act, prepare and bring before the Dáil a report on the accessibility of LPT exemption for those who are affected by the crisis. In relation to damage thresholds, Minister Donoghue wouldn't give a commitment that the damage threshold would be reviewed to allow for LPT exemption to be extended to include more homeowners.
Deputy Doherty asked a further question to me there regarding that, the damage threshold, and I understand this refers to a pattern of cracks exceeding a certain number of millimetres, which I understand is 1.5 millimetres. But I do appreciate that by that kind of precision being there, it does mean then there would be some homes that might not be able to qualify for this exemption. But I am informed that approximately 1,000 homes are in a position to currently claim it.
The North's policing watchdog is recommending an independent review into the investigation into the murder of 18-year-old Marion Beattie in Auchnacloy, County Tyrone, over 50 years ago. It's after a probe found a number of failings during police inquiries into the Portadown teen's murder. Tara Griffiths has more.
The young woman's body was found at the bottom of a quarry, partially clothed, in the early hours of the 31st of March 1973. She had left a dance with an unidentified male. No one's ever been charged or convicted of her murder. The watchdog report found numerous failings. It concluded Marion's family had not received the service they deserved from police and therefore recommended an independent review.
Healthcare unions are calling on the government to classify COVID as an occupational illness or injury. It would include healthcare workers suffering from long COVID and ensure they're supported by their employers. It comes as the Labour Court recommends the current scheme, which provides payments to 159 healthcare workers, be extended for a further 6 months. Unions say classification as an occupational illness would remove a barrier identified by the Labour Court to resolving this issue. There's a warning the government should be putting more money aside to prepare for any future economic shocks. It comes after the ESRI downgraded its growth forecast for the economy. The body also highlighted the dependence on windfall corporation tax receipts from multinationals. The government insists it is putting money aside for future challenges. Director of the Masters in Economy Policy at Trinity College Dublin, Barra Rowntree, says they're not doing enough.
Yes, we're putting some of them away. We're not putting anything like enough away. And instead, what we see, and this is a bit that I think would really concern you, we see other taxes being cut back. And again, that's going to lead us, or that risks leaving us in the same position as we were back in 07, 08.
And in a show, councillor says there needs to be an end to water being supplied to other parts of Donegal from the peninsula until infrastructure needs are addressed. It comes as people in Carndonagh were once again without water today for a second day running, while businesses were forced to close. Part of Clonmany experienced 4 water mains bursts over the past week. Water is being pumped from the Eddie Fullerton Pollen Dam each day to service properties in Letterkenny. Councillor Martin McDermott is warning that can't continue at the expense of those living on the peninsula.
The new trunk main from Mandorne to Clonmany, I did get funding this year, something that we pushed early in the year with Irish Water. It was on the 2026 programme, now it's changed to the 2025 programme. Priority works have started there and they are ready to start putting down that new water main from Mandorne to Clonmany, but that needs to be expedited, that needs to be started immediately, because we cannot keep going throughout the summer with these outages. In Carndonagh, we've had again lots of issues with water over the last period of time that we hadn't had for the last few years, so again there needs to be a full review done of the pipework here, particularly the main trunk main that's feeding north in the show.
The Special Education Minister has announced two additional teaching posts have been created at Little Angels School in Letterkenny. Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher received confirmation of the additional resources on foot of notification of enrolments received by the school management. There was concern earlier this year when a number of parents were told the new school building, which is due to open in September, was too small to accommodate all pupils. After lobbying, it was confirmed four modular classrooms would be used to facilitate all children in addition to the new building. Leonard Watson, a parent representative, says there's still some uncertainty over whether the new school will open to pupils in September.
At the end of the day, when there's ever extra staff being brought into a school, it is good news. We have to be grateful, but I still think the big story is the school's still not open yet. I met with Minister McConnell Ogle last week, and he is guarantees the school will be open in September, but this school should have been open a couple of months ago too. It's frustrating that way for parents, and that we were told maybe in February our children would be going up, and it's now June and no child has been in the school. So I say it is good news, but still there's still a lot of work to do. Even around there's three or four therapist posts that haven't been filled yet. So it's things like this here, even a functioning board in the school. We haven't had a functioning board in 2 years. I think a functioning board would actually maybe move these things on quicker.
Back to Letterkenny University Hospital, and the HSE has confirmed that the capital investment plan for the hospital will run in parallel with proposals for Sligo. Councillor Kieran Brogan has welcomed confirmation that going forward both hospitals will be on a level playing field. A capital programme oversight board has been established which will facilitate input from staff across all levels. Councillor Brogan says it's vital all interested parties are united to secure vital investment for LUH.
There's key capital investment that's needed, including the bed expansion, the critical care, the expansion of the emergency urgent care and local injuries unit, and indeed the ambulatory care centre as well. There's a huge level of investment that's needed, but we need everyone coming together to make this happen. And this is work in progress, and we need to, when we get this information collated together, we need to make sure that we have a time frame for that investment as well.
The Public Accounts Committee has heard the biggest challenge in recruiting new Gardaí is not the limited capacity of the training college in Templemore, but rather a lack of applicants. The committee was told the force has not achieved its recruitment targets in recent years. The Chief Corporate Officer, Siobhan Toll, said staffing levels are stuck at 14,000 members, despite several changes being made to the recruitment process to make it more attractive to applicants. Despite this, Commissioner Harris insists that morale among Gardaí remains strong.
We've done a huge amount to put information into Gardaí's hands. But in the same period, the bans on Garda Síochána have increased. It is hard work. There's no doubt about that. And we are not at the strength we'd wish to be. Yeah, so that creates tension.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Find the perfect running shoe for peak performance at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 minutes past five. Good evening, Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Donald. Good evening. We'll begin with Gaelic Games. Gary Mohan has been included in the Monaghan matchday squad for Saturday's All-Ireland football quarter-final against Donegal. The midfielder has been struggling with injury in recent weeks, but is fit enough to take his place among the substitutes. Jack McCarron is listed to start at corner forward. The Donegal team is expected to be announced tomorrow morning around 10:30. Well, Tyrone legend Sean Kavanagh believes they can contend for the Sam Maguire this summer. The Red Hand have won just 9 of their 20 championship games since winning the All-Ireland title 4 years ago, and they face Dublin in the quarterfinals at Croke Park on Saturday. Three-time All-Ireland winner Kavanagh is confident that Tyrone will come out on top.
We know now we've got all the pieces of the puzzle to make a real charge again to the top table, whilst I think Dublin are still trying to eke out a little bit of the success they had out of the group, whilst trying a bit of a rebuild and blooding a few names, which isn't an easy task. I'm sort of hoping Tyrone's in that upward trajectory, and I think Dublin's maybe in a bit of a rebuild.
In rugby, Lions head coach Andy Farrell has named Dan Sheehan as captain for Saturday's tour match with Western Force. The Ireland hooker is one of 5 starters who will make their Lions debuts in Perth, alongside Leinster teammates Gary Ringrose, James Lowe, Joe McCarthy and Josh van der Fleer. Farrell says Sheehan has all the qualities he looks for in a leader.
I know that the responsibility as well will make him a better player, because that's the type of character he is, and he's a calming type influence who understands what pressured situations really look like at this type of level.
Tighe. Furlong will make his first start since early May at tight head prop, while Mac Hansen starts on the wing. And Munster's Tighe Byrne is one of only two players retained from the starting team from the loss to Argentina. He switches to blindside flanker. Moving on to soccer, Liverpool have completed another summer signing after confirming the arrival of defender Milos Kerkez. The Hungary international moves to Anfield from Bournemouth in a deal worth a reported €47 million. He joins fellow new signings Jeremy Frimpong and Florian Wirtz at the home of the Premier League champions. Cristiano Ronaldo is set to extend his stay in Saudi Arabia. He has agreed a new 2-year contract with Al Nassr after scoring 99 goals in 111 games since arriving in 2022. Manchester City play their final group game of the Club World Cup against Juventus in Orlando later. The winner of the game will top Group G and set up a last 16 clash with RB Salzburg, while the losers will take on Real Madrid. In golf, Seamus Power is back to one over par with three holes to play on day one at the Rocket Classic on the PGA Tour. Andrew Putnam holds the lead in Detroit on 7 under par. On the DP World Tour, Connor Purcell carded an opening round of level par 70 at the Italian Open. Dan Bradbury is the leader on 6 under par there. On the Women's European Tour, Anna Foster is best of the Irish on 3 under on day one of the German Masters. That is two shots off the lead held by four players on 5 under. And on the LPGA Tour, Leona Maguire tees off alongside Jennifer Kupcho at the Dow Championship a little bit later in Michigan. In cricket, the T20 Interprovincial Series continued today at Stormont. The Northwest Warriors were beaten by Munster Reds earlier this afternoon. Northwest batted first and set 138 for 8 in their 20 overs. Munster were made to work hard but eventually caught that target with 2 wickets remaining as they reached 142, also for the loss of 8 wickets. Finally, coming up on the score programme this evening, former Finn Harps player Joe Boyle joins us to look ahead to tomorrow's League of Ireland action for Finn Harps and Derry City. 2012 All-Ireland winner Frank McGlynn previews Donegal's All-Ireland quarter-final with Monaghan, and we'll also hear from Mark English after his recent good form in the world of athletics. That's all coming up on The Score after the 7 o'clock news. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Just a very quick news update for you. The PSNI have told us the security alert on Trench Road in Derry continues. There are traffic diversions now in place in the vicinity of Hollymount Park and on Trench Road at the junction with St Brecon's Park. A cordon ultra remains in place at Knockwellen Park and police are on the scene there. A number of commercial premises in the area have been evacuated, as well as some homes in Knockwellen Park and Cromkill Place. The Hillcrest Trust Community Centre is open as a rest centre. That's the latest we've had from the PSNI. Now it's 20 past five on a Thursday, and that means it's time for Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Emmy Sean, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit Unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Shortly, we'll be hearing more about this weekend's Finn Valley Show, which will include the Irish Texel Sheep Society Five Nations events. But let's start with the annual Forest Statistics Report, which shows that Ireland now has 11.6% of its land area classed as forest. The county with the greatest amount of forest cover is Leitrim at 20.1%, while the county with the least amount is Louth with just 2.9%. Interestingly, Donegal is at 11.8%. That's just above the national average. Further analysis shows that this equates to a total of 57,155 hectares of forestry in Donegal, of which 36,077 hectares are publicly owned, while the remaining 21,079 hectares is private forestry. Between 1980 and 2024, over 24,000 private landowners nationally accessed grants available to establish new forests. Farmers have accounted for 82% of afforestation on private lands. Chagos, in conjunction with Arrivo, will have their latest signpost farm walk on the farm of Richard Starrett in Lifford. That takes place on Wednesday, July the 9th from 11 to 1pm. Topics to be discussed will include farm performance and emissions, breeding and the economic breeding index, water quality and soil fertility, and protected urea. Meanwhile, Chagosk in Ballymote is now accepting applications for a new part-time green cert commencing in September 2025. The 33rd staging of the Finn Valley Show takes place this Saturday. So to find out more, I've been speaking with the show secretary, Adina Duncan. Adina, it's that time of year again, the Finn Valley Show. Hard to believe almost a year has passed. So first of all, the venue, the Russell Family Farm in Killygordon, it gets underway this Saturday. What time does it all begin?
It kicks off from 9 a.m. And there will be competitions and different things to see throughout the day.
Tell us a little bit about what people can expect. Maybe we'll start off with on the animal side of things. Naturally enough, there's going to be horses, there's going to be cattle, there's going to be sheep, there's going to be poultry. So give us a flavour of the type of classes and competitions that there'll be.
Well, this is definitely one of our biggest years with entry numbers. We're also hosting the All-Ireland Texel Championships with people travelling from across Ireland, but also travelling over from Wales and England as they're hosting the Five Nations event. We're very grateful to be the host of it.
And is there a figure? Can you tell us like how many different classes roughly there will be?
Well, if I go via the sheep route, we have over 120 sheep classes at present, and that for each year now that is improving because there's more and more sheep breeds that we're introducing. We have over 120 sheep classes, and we've also got our cattle, horses. We've also got throughout the day, there is kids' amusements. Rousseau Macra are going to be running a tug-of-war event at around 3 o'clock, and that is going to be followed by one of my favourites, the Donkey Derby, which is definitely a crowd-pleaser.
Then there's things like a tractor show and shine.
Yes, so the entries for those are taken on the day. And we're very lucky that Kirsty Ward from Grassmen is coming to judge that as well.
So lots to look forward to. And then within each section and subsection, there's so many categories. Even like, for example, when we look at horses, there'll be thoroughbreds, riding classes, draft horses, ponies, donkeys. So literally a huge selection of things.
Yes, so it's going from big to small. We've got, as you say, large horses right down to Shetlands. So there is definitely something for everyone to look at and watch. I know there's going to be a lot of exhibitors bringing out their animals.
And no doubt there'll be some intense competition, some great pedigree cattle will be there.
Yeah, definitely.
Are there any rare animals that people maybe wouldn't see often?
Yes, this is actually our first year of hosting the native breeds. It is an unhaltered section, so people will be able to go up and actually get up nearly close and personal to them. That is our first year having those as well.
Pets are also an important part of the show, the dog show.
The dog show is always a very important part of it. I know lots of people come and it's very well supported. Again, entries are taken for it on the day and it normally kicks off around 2 o'clock.
There's always plenty to eat and drink as well.
Yes.
And the home industries, the home baking, lots to admire and sample as well.
Definitely. There is lots and lots of yummy bacon to view. And then we've also got our own catering area with lots of different coffee carts and catering vans. So lots to eat, lots to drink, and lots of live music as well from Anthony Rhinestone and Jason McCahill.
And also there are a number of trade stands there because there's going to be a lot of people, so it's an opportunity for businesses to show off their products.
Yeah, a lot of locals coming out showing their produce, and then a lot of people travelling as well, bringing different things that we haven't had before. It definitely is a day for the entire family to come and support the community.
Now, this is the 33rd Finn Valley Show.
Yes.
As a secretary, no doubt you've had a lot of late nights putting it all together. But the fact that it's going so many years shows just how important it is in the area. It's an indication of how popular an event it is.
Yes. Well, we are very, very lucky to have the Russell family allowing us to use their field each year, because without that there wouldn't be a show. We're also very grateful for our annual sponsors. Without them, like, the show wouldn't, it wouldn't be able to take place either without their support.
For people who are not familiar with the area, it's in Killygordon, mm-hmm. the show. So on the approach roads, will there be some signs and maybe
yes,
there's an air code?
It'll be all signposted, and then there'll be shirts out in the road directing you for our parking system as well.
What time do the gates open to the public?
The gates open from 9 a.m.
As things stand, Adina, the forecast looks reasonably good, and that is important.
Fingers crossed, yes. Hopeful for a sunny day, that is a massive help to us. It's one thing that we can't predict, but hopefully at the moment it is looking good. So hopefully it stays like that.
There's a very big number of entries for this year's mm-hmm. event. What do you put that down to? Have we fully recovered maybe from after COVID? I know it took a while for things to get back to normal, but maybe it's a sign of people's confidence in the whole farming community.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a lot of younger people as well, very keen to get started into it and continue it on from generations as well. So it is fantastic to see. This is definitely our biggest year with livestock. So hopefully we can improve year on year, but it's great to see so many young people so keen.
And if people want to find out a little bit more, you do have a Facebook page?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page and we have an Instagram page, so follow along. I'd sort of put up updates on that, especially like our judging order for the sheep, if there's a particular breed that they want to watch. But definitely it is a family fun day. There is something there for everybody.
And Adina, the admission for this year's event, tell us what the charges are.
Yeah, so adults are €10 and children under the age of 12 are free. And also all our parking is free as well. There's activities running throughout the day, so great value for money.
And that was Adina Duncan, the secretary of the Finn Valley Show, which takes place this Saturday on the Russell Family Farm in Killygordon. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. As always, many thanks for listening. From me, Chris Ashmore, until the next time, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit Unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Weather forecast, it'll be mild, cloudy and breezy this evening and tonight with some patchy outbreaks of rain, lows of 11 to 13 degrees Celsius tonight, a moderate to fresh southerly wind, blustery tomorrow with outbreaks of rain and drizzle, heaviest and most persistent during the morning and afternoon, becoming lighter and patchier toward evening, highs tomorrow of 17 to 19 in a fresh and gusty southwesterly wind. Main stories in brief before we go. Sinn Féin and the government have clashed in fiery exchanges over the redevelopment of the GPO in Dublin. You can hear those exchanges on our website, Highland Radio. Police in Derry continue to deal with a security alert on Trench Road in the Waterside. A number of diversions in the area have now been put in place and more houses have been evacuated. Full details on our website. Meanwhile, a police car was damaged on the city side last night. Masonry was thrown through a back window. It's taken the car out of commission. And people are being urged to only attend the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital in cases of real emergency, with high numbers continuing to attend. 140 people attending yesterday. Similarly, high attendances being recorded today. The HSC is urging people, if they can, to use their GP or GP out of hours service instead. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. In the interim, check all the latest news on our website, highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 26th of June. The death has occurred of Patrick Porrick Jackie O'Donnell, Pole Road, Meanmore, Dunlow, late of Letchamick Award, and Plahogue, Aaron Moore. As it was Porrick's wish for his remains to be donated to Galway University Hospital for medical research, there will be no service or committal. The death has taken place of David Gailey Bowl, formerly of Coolboy, Letterkenny. David will be resting at Terence McClintock's funeral home at Ballybough Convoy tomorrow from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. A service of thanksgiving for his life will be held on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock in Trinity Presbyterian Church, Main Street, Letterkenny, followed by committal in Gortley Graveyard. There'll be an opportunity to meet David's immediate family before the church service. The death has taken place of Bridget Gurley O'Mahony, née Whelan, Carol Hugh Greencastle, formerly of 28 Mount Prospect Avenue, Clontarf, Dublin. Bridget's remains are reposing at her home until 9 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 9 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock funeral mass in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family Flowers Only Please donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Eamon McLaughlin, funeral director. The death has taken place of James Burke, Westbrook, Buncrana. Remains reposing at McLaughlin's funeral home, Lower Main Street, Buncrana, until 6 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. And the death has taken place of Maureen Shields, née O'Donnell, Glen Raw, Glen Carrigart, formerly of Ranafast. Her remains are reposing at her home in Glen with rosary tonight at 9. House private pleas from after the rosary and before the funeral tomorrow. The funeral mass will take place tomorrow morning at 11 in St John the Baptist Church, Carrigart, with interment in the cemetery adjoining St Mary's Star of the Sea Church. The funeral mass can be viewed on the Meva Parish Facebook page. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.